Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul. I want to encourage you. I've been having a wonderful time, when I say walking with God, just enjoying the Lord each day. You going to stay up or you going to go down? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm going to talk to you about walking with God. Our journey here on this planet, once we meet the Lord, is to be a journey called a walk with God. Charlie and Joellen, welcome back. Good to have you. We miss you while you're gone. Good to have you back. And just lately in my quiet time, Richard, I've been really listening more than talking. And it's amazing to me how much God wants to talk to us. But He won't talk to us while we're talking. He'll talk to us when we listen. Just like if I was talking to you right now and you'd jump in and talk to me, you couldn't hear anything I was saying. And three things tonight I'm just going to share with you what the Lord just been emphasizing to me lately. He's not just, some of this has actually been for the last two or three months, saying the same thing, just bring it back up to me again. And I suspect He's saying probably the same thing to many of you. And the first thing that God just seems to be emphasizing to me for the last two, 3 months is two words: slow down. I can't tell you how many times I've heard it. I write it in my journal. I keep a little journal with me, and I write in black or blue ink what I'm writing to God. And then when I think God's saying something back to me, I write it in red, and I can take you back through about 3 months or more where He said that to me over and over and over again. I want you to slow down. I want you to slow down. Our world's in a fast hurry. And you don't have to do anything but just exist in this world and get caught up in it. It's the world. It's the world that we live in. Is the culture is hurry up. The culture is hurry. And most car accidents happen when you're in a hurry. Most trouble happens when you're in a hurry. And most of our world is going in a hurry nowhere. But they're in a hurry. And they're impatient. They're irritable with people that when you have to wait on something. We don't like waiting for our meals. We don't like waiting in line. We don't like having to wait at the doctor's office. We don't like waiting for anything. And it's showing. And hurry can become a habit. Can become a habit for you. And a lifestyle that we pick up just by being in the world. There's a song entitled, and I didn't hear it, but here's the actual title of a song: I Don't Know Where I'm Going, But I'm Going There in a Hurry Blues. It's a blues song. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going there in a hurry blues. I just saw that title. I said, well, I got to put that in and share that with you. One of the places where God wants us to slow down is when we're reading the Bible. Because if you don't slow down, you'll read the Bible like you would any other book. The Bible's not any other book. The Bible's the Word of God. And when you read the Bible, if you read the Bible just for information about God, then you're treating it like an ordinary book. If you're just reading for information, you're treating the Bible, the Word of God, like an ordinary book. You can't read the Bible like an ordinary book and get anything out of it. Get anything out of it you're supposed to get. Hebrews 4:12, you know it, for the Word of God is alive. It's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. So this book is alive. It's not like some other book. It's alive. And if it's alive, it speaks. And if it speaks, we can listen. If it's the Word of God, we can hear the Word of God in the Bible. But we can't read it like an ordinary book or treat it like one. How do we read the Bible? I told my wife a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, one thing I think that's sad is that most people in the church, I think a lot of people in the church, just don't really know how to read the Bible. They haven't been taught. How do you read the Bible? You start off by asking the Holy Spirit to help you listen as you read. Ask the Holy Spirit. The author of the book is the best one to interpret what's been written. Amen. So when you come to places and you say, I don't know what that means, why don't you just dare to talk to the Holy Spirit out loud and say, I don't know what this means, Holy Spirit. Would you explain it to me? And wait for some kind of leading from the Holy Spirit. Because the author can interpret it better than anybody else. And when you read the Bible, you should always have a pad of paper and a pen with you, anticipating you're going to get something you need to write down. It could be a distraction comes in your mind while you're trying to read the Bible. The next thing you know, oh, I got to make sure I call and cancel that doctor appointment. That kind of stuff happens. Just write it down. And if it's the enemy trying to send a distraction to you to keep you from focusing on the Word, then you just say, I took care of that and I got me a note. I'll take care of that later. It won't sidetrack you. I can't tell you how many times it's actually demonic to get a distraction when you're trying to read the Bible, or you get phone calls when you get to read the Bible, or somebody knocks on the door, rings your doorbell, when you just start to have your quiet time with God. That's not always coincidental. Sometimes it is, but many times it's not. So ask the Holy Spirit, keep a pad and a pen ready with you, and the Holy Spirit ought to be the first person, everybody say first, the first person you go to when you have questions about the Scripture. Before you go to a pastor, before you go to a theologian, before you go to your favorite commentary, you should ask the Holy Spirit. It would be an insult if the author of a book was right here standing in front of me and I would want to ask, you know, I don't understand this chapter that you wrote or this paragraph, and ignore him and go around and ask, would you tell me what this means? And would you mind... Could you explain this to me? And he's standing right there. The first person you go to before you go to a pastor about something you don't know is ask the Holy Spirit. He wrote it. And people will say, I hear this all the time, well, it just depends on how you interpret the Bible. There's so many different interpretations of the Bible. No, there's not. Don't accept that. Don't accept the fact, oh, there's so many different ways you can interpret the Bible. No, there's only one right interpretation. All the others are incorrect. When God said, thou shalt not steal, he didn't mean many different things. It's according to your interpretation. He meant, don't take something that from somebody else's that doesn't belong to you. One interpretation. Many applications. Don't steal someone's money. Don't steal someone's wife. Don't steal someone's time. Many applications. But it only means one thing. Are you with me? Amen. So you go to the Holy Spirit to get the right interpretation. And wait upon him and trust that he'll lead you. He will. That's what he's supposed to do. Look at this, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. The anointing which you have received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, for the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. This word anointing is speaking about the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, you get the anointing in you. It can also be translated the word Christ. Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. Christ means the anointed one. The Messiah, the anointed one. And so this anointing that comes in you at spiritual birth is the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's in you. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. He doesn't come and go like in the Old Testament days. The Spirit would come upon people and then he would leave. He stays with us. Remember at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and rested upon you and stayed upon him, showing us this is what's going to happen with the new covenant. The Holy Spirit stays with us. And I realize there are a lot of denominations that don't teach that. They confuse people, and then people go back and forth with all kinds of questions because it's not right. It's not accurate according to the Bible. So the anointing which you have does not mean you don't get the benefit of other teachers, because the Bible says that there's the fivefold ministry gifts that are given to the church, like in leadership, to help the church grow. But you don't, and the fivefold would be the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. Those are gifts that God gives the church. I'm stepping in that one of those gifts right now as a teacher. I'm teaching you. That's a gift from God. God has blessed me with by grace, and I'm giving it to you to help you flourish, to help you grow. But you don't have to have me if you have the anointing. It's a supplement. It doesn't take the place of the anointing. No pastor, no teacher, no apostle, no evangelist, no prophet should ever take the place of you trusting the Holy Spirit in you first. People are fallible. We make mistakes, get into error, false doctrine. So you check everything out that's being taught to you by a man. You go to the Word. And this is where you verify. And then you ask the Holy Spirit, is this correct? He will guide you in all truth. Okay, that's what he does. When I say that the fivefold ministry gifts, remember I think I alluded to it either Sunday or I think I did Sunday. I said, you know, the dove, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. He came down upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And I mentioned to you then that the dove on both of his wings has like 9 feathers. And some people say it could represent, you know, the gifts of the Spirit on one side, the various motivational gifts, like in Romans chapter 12. You have a motivational gift. And there's other gifts as well that are manifestations or, so forth. But the motivational gifts would be one wing with 9 feathers, you could say. On the other wing, you could say, are the gifts of the Spirit. There's 9 motivational gifts. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. So you have that balance. And so when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, you get introduced to the gifts of the Spirit. You start to manifest the fruit of his presence in your life, which is really love, but love is manifested through joy, peace, and so forth like that. Then I said that there's this fivefold. So the dove has tail feathers, you could say, and he has 5 tail feathers. And so you could say one's the apostle, one's the prophet, one's the evangelist, one's the pastor, and one's the teacher. But the difference between a tail feather and a wing feather is a tail feather is smaller. The tail feathers guide the dove in its flight. But they're small. They're not the same length of the wings or the wing feathers. What I'm trying to say is to you is this. God sends you people in your life. I'm one of them right now, being a teacher to you as a gift, but I'm small. I'm not the main thing you look to. And any tail feather, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, tries to make themselves bigger than what they're supposed to be, you need to run from them. Tail feathers are small. say that to anybody else here who's a tail feather. Remember, you're small. Okay. So we have this wonderful anointing, the Holy Spirit in us, to help us read the Bible. We want to walk with God. And so we have a Holy Spirit who's in us who will interpret the Bible for us. But you got to slow down in order to listen. You listen while you're reading. You listen while you're reading the Bible. See, that's why you don't read fast. You read slow, Richard. Very important. And you listen. That's why you keep a pad of paper next to you. I like what Eugene Peterson said. Do you know who he was? He was the man who wrote the paraphrase, the Message Bible. And he's a wonderful man of God, but I like what he said. He said, our educational system has taught us to read for information. The Holy Spirit is seeking to draw us into a relationship of love and faith. We need much less studying the Scripture and more praying the Scriptures. Rather than analyzing the Word, we need to let it speak to us. Instead of studying, analyzing, we need to meditate upon it. And as we meditate upon it with the Holy Spirit, He reveals things to us that we couldn't come up to on our own. So it has nothing to do with your IQ, how smart you are. It has to do with revelation from the heart. What He's after when you read the Bible, He's after a relationship with you. He's not trying to increase this. He's trying to increase His relationship with you. Intimacy between you and Him. So when you read the Bible, you're not reading the Bible for information as much as you are for companionship. I want to get to know you better, God. So you slow down when you read the Bible. That's what God's been saying to me, Gary. Slow down in everything. Slow down. And I didn't realize I was in such a hurry. I sit down and try to read the Bible. I'm in a hurry. I get in the car. I'm going somewhere. I don't have to be there at a certain time, but I'm in a hurry. Sitting down eating my food. I'm in a hurry. Getting dressed. I'm in a hurry. It's a habit. So how many people here believe the Lord's been telling them lately you need to slow down? Okay, good. The second thing the Holy Spirit spoke to me lately, and I don't hear an audible voice, it's just a strong impression comes into my heart and my mind, but I have such a good relationship with God that now I recognize Him a lot easier than I did when I first got started. So now it doesn't take me long to figure out that's God talking to me. And here's the second thing that God's been telling me lately. And I think He's been telling you the same thing. Listen for Him in everything. Listen for Him in everything. That should come up on the screen right there, if you can put that up. Listen for Him. Listen for God. Listen for the Holy Spirit in everything you're doing. Now let me slow down here and ask you a question. Don't raise your hand because I'm not trying to embarrass you. Do you have a quiet time with God every day? I want to encourage you to start. And if you're honest and you say, no, I don't do that, it's probably because you don't know how to, or you don't know how to get the benefit out of it. There are four things you need to have a quiet time with God. You need to have a regular time you meet with Him. I think the morning time is the best time. Before you get out in your day, rather than wait late at night, because you probably never get around to it, but before you get out in your world, you know, the first part of the day, block off the TV, block off the phone, start having a quiet time with God. You may start out with 15 minutes. At least that's better than nothing. So you need to have a regular time. So I'm going to meet with God at 7 a.m. or I'm going to meet with God at 8 a.m. Whatever it is, but set a time. Find a regular place to do that. Number two, a regular place. A regular time, a regular place. Number two, you need to have a regular place you meet with God. Maybe it's your kitchen table, dining room table, maybe on the back porch. That's where I meet with God. That's where I just love to. I'm expecting to meet Him there every every morning. Number three, you need to have a plan. You say, what do you mean have a plan? Well, okay, let's say you're not familiar with the Bible. I'd say start with one book of the Bible. Don't start with Revelation. But start with one of the Gospels that tell you about Jesus. Start with the book of Mark. That's only 16 chapters. Have a plan. You better have a plan than no plan. So you start with a plan. Start in the New Testament. Expect God's Word to speak to your heart. Okay? And then number four, start. I'm talking to some folks that you don't need to hear this, I understand. But start. The hardest part of anything is to start. The hardest part of a diet is to start. The hardest part of starting a savings account is just to start. So just start. So I'm saying that for somebody here today that just tomorrow morning, set your alarm, start. Amen? Now, once you've had your quiet time with God, it's like you got the phone off the hook and you're talking to Him, and hopefully you start to hear and recognize the way He's talking to you through the Word. When you get done with your quiet time, don't hang up the phone. He's still talking. You started your day with Him. He's going to be your companion throughout the day. He's going to be with you in everything. So when you listen for Him in everything, you listen for Him in every conversation you have. Whether it's on the phone, whether you watch a television program, or you read another book, or you're doing something, or your friends are talking. If you'll pay attention and listen, you'll start to pick up on ways that God is talking to you through other people's voices, even when they're not talking about God. Your spirit will pick up on it. You'll hear something in a movie, and you'll go, that one line just stands out to you, and you'll know you've heard it maybe over and over and over again, and you pick up on, that's God talking to me. People will think you're crazy if you tell everybody that, but I'm telling you, you'll start to pick up on the Spirit of God. And you got to listen for God in everything, and He's speaking. He's going to surprise you that He's speaking to you and through a variety of ways. Through creation. Through people. And you may hear the same word or an idea over and over and over and over, and you start to pick up on, that was God talking to me again. That was God reminding me. I've heard this over and over, this same idea, and you start to pick up on things. And so the question would be, well, how do I know that I'm hearing God's voice and it's not just my imagination? I'm glad you asked. Number one, it begins with relationship. The more you spend time with God in building a relationship, time in His Word, then you'll start to recognize His voice. My wife calls me on the phone. I don't have to ask her, who is this? I know her voice. Relationship. If you and I talk on a regular basis, after a while I wouldn't have to ask, who is this, or see it on caller ID. I know you because we have a relationship going. The same thing is true with God. And some of it is also by trial and error. I think God said this to me. And then you find out later, no, that really wasn't God. That was pizza. And then so, it's trial and error. I'm serious. You learn. Another way you know you recognize God's voice and it's not just your imagination, write it down. Keep a record of what you believe God is impressing upon you or giving a thought to you or what He may be saying. Write it down. Have a record. It may be a day or two later or a week or two later where something is so confirmed to you that you get excited about it. You're actually hearing God. Amen?
Amen.
Three things I believe God said to me lately, and I'm sharing this with you. Number one, slow down. Everybody say, slow down. Especially in reading the Bible. It's not something you're trying to hurry up and get through. It's not something to check off your to-do list. Well, I have my quiet time. No, it's you're reading for companionship. Second thing God has said to me lately, and I think he's saying to you, is listen for God in everything. Everything. I've had God speak to me through lost people. I've had God speak to me through a drunk person. They had no idea. They weren't saying, thus saith the Lord. It's just in their conversation. Words came out and I went, Oh, I've heard that just recently in my quiet time or something. And I knew it was God speaking to me. So God is not limited in how he can talk to you. Yeah. And number three, the third thing that the Lord's been emphasizing to me lately, and I believe he's emphasizing to you, is number three, is this. He said to me this, and this was so strange to me. He said, I want you to get to know the Holy Spirit better. I want you to get to know the Holy Spirit better. I thought I did. If you know the Father, you know the Son, you know the Holy Spirit. I mean, but each one has a different role in your life. And God said to me, maybe he's not saying that to you, but he said to me, I want you to get to know the Holy Spirit better, implying that I know him, but I don't know him well enough to maybe recognize some of the ways he's working. When you're born again, you're given the Holy Spirit that moment. At spiritual birth, you have the Holy Spirit. He lives inside your body. He didn't come later. He came at spiritual birth. But as you begin to mature and grow out of being an infant or a baby, and you begin to grow a little bit, you begin to realize that you had the Holy Spirit at spiritual birth. It's like a baby who's born with hands, but all of a sudden, one day, maybe his arm goes, but he recognizes, there's a hand. What is that? And he begins to be fascinated. He realizes, I have a hand. What is this thing? And he begins to learn he can use it and so forth. But he discovers what he has. And as at spiritual birth, we have to discover we have the Holy Spirit living inside us, the teacher, the anointing, the helper, the counselor. He's living inside me. It's not just theology that we spout off out here. It's really true. He lives inside you. And so like when you're born physically, you're born with legs, but you're not born automatically walking. You learn to walk. You learn to use your legs. What's true of the physical is also true of the spiritual. At spiritual birth, you don't start walking by the Spirit right away. I'm being led by the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. No, you don't do that. You have to learn about the Holy Spirit. You have to learn that he wants to lead you. You have to learn to walk by the Spirit, because most of your life you've been dominated by walking according to your flesh. So now you're learning a whole different way. And so you have to learn to recognize the Holy Spirit, and then you can depend upon him the way Jesus had to. Jesus had to depend upon the Holy Spirit to do everything he did. He said, I don't do anything except I hear what the Father's telling me. So to walk in the Spirit, you must talk to the Spirit. Do you talk to the Holy Spirit? I started doing this more specifically. I started addressing the Holy Spirit. I know God the Father. I know Jesus the Son. They're right there with me. They're one and the same. I understand that, but they have different roles. But lately, I've been talking more directly to the Holy Spirit, addressing the Holy Spirit, welcoming the Holy Spirit, talking to the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit questions. We believe in the Trinity. It's not three different gods. It's one God, three in one. And they're so united, there's no conflict between the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. No conflict at all. They work wonderfully well together. There's a oneness that God wants to have, but the same way, like between you and the Father, you and the Holy Spirit, you and Jesus, you and the Father. So we have this Trinity, but each of the Trinity has a specific role. The Father has a role. The Son has a role. The Holy Spirit has a role. What is the role of God the Father? Well, there's probably a lot of things, and I just wrote down some things to help teach tonight. But the role of the Father is to be the originator. He's the Father. He's the where it all began. It's where it all started. He's the Father. He's the beginning. He's the architect. He has a plan in mind for what he intends to happen. He's the planner, and he has children. A father has children in his likeness. So that's basically the role of God the Father. But there's also the role of God the Son. How is that different? God the Son plays a different role. The role of Jesus the Son is to, one, model as a human what the Father is like to us, to model for us what the human life at its best can be. So Jesus modeled for that. He modeled that for us. And to give us an example of that perfect life. But he's also our kinsman redeemer. We had to have somebody like us to be able to save us. An angel couldn't come down and die on the cross for us. It had to be somebody like us, yet without sin. And the only kinsman redeemer in the universe is Jesus, who's like us, yet without sin. So he came to be our Savior. Bible says he's also our intercessor. He intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father, because the devil is down here accusing us of everything, and yet Jesus intercedes for us and says, no, my blood's covered that, Father. They're clean. And so there's more things we could add, but I'm just kind of giving you the role of the Father, the role of the Son. But what's the role of the Holy Spirit? What's the role of the Holy Spirit? The Father said to me, I want you to begin to know the Holy Spirit better. I believe he's telling you the same thing. I want you to begin to know the Holy Spirit. So what's his role? When Jesus was about to leave the earth on the night that he was betrayed, he took the 12 aside and he taught them about his coming death, his imminent death, and his departure from them. They got sad. You're leaving? You're going to leave us? They got sad to hear what he was saying about them leaving them. But then he said, in John 16, verse 7, he said this, it's to your advantage. Everybody say advantage. It's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor, the comforter, will not come. The paracletos, the one who comes alongside you, will not come. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' replacement. Jesus was here on earth physically with the disciples, but he could only go in certain places, and certainly he could only be one place at a time. And so he says, it's to your advantage that I go away, so the Father will send you the Holy Spirit. So Jesus' replacement is the Holy Spirit. And where does he live? If you're born again, he lives inside your body right now. It's not something you get later. You get it now while you're here on earth. He's to be your mentor, be your counselor, your advocate, to be your teacher. John 14:6 says he'll be with you forever. John 14:26, he will teach you everything, and he will remind you, because we have a tendency to forget. And 2 Corinthians 13:14 says he wants communion with you. That's a deep intimacy. He wants communion with you. Most Christians think the role of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of our sin. No, that's a policeman. Catch you when you do wrong. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. If you look in this scripture, John 16, verses 8 through 15, Jesus told us about the Holy Spirit, the role of him. He said, when he comes, the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin. Singular. And of righteousness. And of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. What does he convict us of? He convicts us of not believing him. Of unbelief. You're lost because you don't believe. He says, he's going to convict of righteousness. Who's he convict of righteousness? Those that are righteous. You're righteous. You've been born again. You're forgiven. You need that because the accuser of the brethren, the devil, comes in an invisible, stealth way to tell you that you're not forgiven. You're not righteous. You can't be righteous. Look at you. And the Holy Spirit comes to convict you of righteousness. Why don't you stop and just thank God right now for the Holy Spirit doing his job? Thank God that the devil couldn't talk you out of that. No, you're righteous. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world stands condemned. Satan is already condemned. He just hasn't carried out the condemnation to its full extent yet. But the lake of fire is coming for him. He's like he's in a holding cell here on earth. Jesus said, he, the Holy Spirit, will receive from me and declare it to you. He will tell you things to come. He'll tell you the future. The Holy Spirit wants to tell you these things. But he only talks to you if you allow him to have intimacy with you. You spend time with him. You talk to him, he talks to you. You ask questions, and he many times will give you leading in answers, but most of the time it's not the why question. So lately, I talk to the Holy Spirit more. I ask him to teach me about him. And here's some scriptures. If you're not that close to the Holy Spirit, you don't know that much about him, let me give you some scriptures. You ought to write these down and just make that your study time with God tomorrow morning and just ask God, the Holy Spirit, to teach you. Some scriptures about the Holy Spirit. If you look in John chapters 14 through 16, 14, 15, 16, it's kind of an introduction role to the Holy Spirit. This is where Jesus taught the disciples about the Holy Spirit. So it's a good place to get an introduction to the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27, which we looked at tonight, the anointing, he's called the anointing. He will teach you everything you need to know. So you go to him first. And then Romans 8 is a great chapter on being led by the Spirit, or learning to walk in the Spirit. That's what God intends for you. His goal for you, his goal for me, is to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit and to walk in the Spirit while we're here on this earth. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit wants communion with you. Communion with you. Look at this verse of Scripture. I'm verifying this with this Scripture. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Those are the things God wants for you. He wants you to have the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God wants intimacy with you. Intimacy. And it starts with fellowship, and then it goes deeper into communion. We had a game night here Friday night. Thank you, Coach, for leading that. It was a good turnout of folks. We sat down and we played games together. So what's the purpose of a church where you come together and you play games together? That's not the purpose of the church. Oh, but it is. It's called fellowship. You first have to start with fellowship. That means you find something in common together. And the church needs to have fellowship. Fellowship's not always eating in a fellowship hall meals, okay? It's wonderful to have those meals. But fellowship is just sharing something in common together. And as you do that, you begin to bond. You know, we need to have more fellowship. We do things that just, if you laugh together, you kind of have a bond with people. If you eat a meal together, you kind of have a bond together. If you go somewhere together and go play golf or do things that, these things are important. This is called fellowship. You begin to have something you share in common together. And out of fellowship, you begin to grow into perfect love for one another and so forth too. So fellowship is sharing something in common together. But communion is much deeper. Notice the scripture said that he wants us to have the communion of the Holy Spirit. Communion is not like sitting down at the Lord's Lord's Supper table. That's a communion, but this is not what that's talking about. This communion is an exchanging of our lives at a deeper level to where we will become one. That means we're going to be transparent. That means we are going to really open up and not be superficial. We're going to be able to share our lives, warts and all. And as a result of doing that, there's going to be a closer bond that we have with one another. Fellowship is good, but it needs to go into communion. You won't have communion with a bunch of people. You'll have it with a small group of people. Even in Jesus' 12 disciples, it seemed to be Peter, James, and John that were the closest. You always see them bunched up. So, he wants to have ongoing communion with you. He desires intimacy with all of us, not just certain people. That's not just for pastors, evangelists, apostles. It's not. No, it's for you. God wants you to get that close to him. What I'm having with the Lord, God wants you to have that. You can have it. You don't go to Bible college to learn how to have that. You spend time with God. You say, I'm not smart enough. Oh, put all that stuff away. That's not true. You are. God wants, he knows how to communicate to you. It's not based on IQ. You're looking at a guy who didn't even read a book until I got out of high school. It's not because I couldn't read, because I just didn't want to read it. I was too lazy. I read comic books. Everything God does comes out of a relationship you have with him. So you can get as close to God as you want to get. You can. In fact, you already are. You're as close to God as you want to get right now. And if you want to get closer, you will. God says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw close to you. He's waiting on you to take the initiative to say, I'm getting up early tomorrow morning because I'm going to have my time alone with God. And if you'll honor God in that way, he'll honor you by showing up in a mighty way and making himself known to you. Everything comes out of intimacy. I don't write sermons anymore. I experience them. That's why I carry this thing around, because I got so much stuff that happens during my week. That's where the messages that I preach to you, and even what I'm teaching you tonight, it comes out of intimacy with God. It doesn't come from a book. I don't look online and try to get a sermon and steal it and preach it. I did that before, but I don't do that anymore. It comes out of intimacy. So if you get fed and nurtured by something that God has given me to give to you, then once it's yours, you own it. It's yours. Now you take it and you go teach somebody else what you've learned. And you don't need to give me any credit, because there's only one creator. There's only one originator. All the rest of us just swap around. All right, I think y'all ready to go home. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord, for some teaching tonight. Thank you for the faithful people who showed up, and I appreciate it, and I pray that you will let them take something home in their hearts tonight, and tomorrow morning when they wake up, the Holy Spirit, you'll bring it back to their remembrance. So thank you, Lord. You've said to us, slow down. You've said to us, listen for you in everything. Even tonight when you're watching television, there'll be something. If you'll pay attention, listen for God in it. And number three, get to know the Holy Spirit better. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be sure to love somebody and give them some encouragement before they go home tonight. Thanks for being here.